Welcome to The Coop with Kit. My name is Kit Hoover, and I have been lucky enough in my 30 years in this business to interview some of the most iconic badass women out there. We all know that girlfriends give the best advice, and they're all coming to The Coop. We're talking career, marriage, kids, sex, aging, all of it. I truly believe we are just hitting our stride. All right, my chickens, let's get into it. My guest today is none other than Jenny McCarthy. Jenny's been navigating this business for the last 30 years. She started as a Playboy playmate, landed the most coveted job on Singled Out to become the darling of MTV. She's a New York Times best-selling author multiple times over, actress, activist, beauty entrepreneur, warrior mom, and one of the most spiritual beings I've ever encountered. Nobody manifests success like Jenny McCarthy. Today, we learn her exact tools for bringing love, joy, and opportunity into life. Get ready to laugh, learn, and say, holy crap. People, Jenny McCarthy is the bomb. Here we go. Are we recording? Are you ready, Miss Jenny?
I am.
Jenny, thank you for coming on my podcast, The Coop with Kit.
I love it. I was so honored when you asked me. I was like, heck yeah, I love her.
Well, we wanted to start here at The Coop with something really important. And you talk about having big balls. And we want to know, how big are those balls, Jenny?
Oh my God, I thought you were going to ask me how big Donnie's balls were.
Well, that was next. That's my follow-up.
I've got some pretty good-sized balls. I think once you become a mother, it's really amazing to even step outside yourself and look who you were before you gave birth and who you are after, because you really become empowered and, you know, especially a warrior. But I feel like my balls keep growing.
Jenny, one word to describe where you are in your life right now.
Peaceful.
Ah, explain.
Even though I'm still incredibly like work-driven, I've always been like a hustler of wanting to just create things. But I don't feel that desperation I did in the past of like, you know, especially in this business, you kind of want to make it. You want your peers to be like, wow, you're amazing. And that is all freaking at a certain point. It's like, how am I resonating with myself? How do I feel about myself and where I'm at and what I'm doing? I've just cleaned up my life. Not that it was a total wreck, even as weird as it may seem, but like sleeping pills. I would take sleeping pills for like the past 15 years. And I finally got off of those. Like, doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is.
No, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal because it's really, really tricky. Just taking good care of myself and learning how to say no really brought me to a peaceful place in my life.
Do you think it's being in your 50s? Do you think it's your love story with Donnie?
I think it's a combination. I would also use the word like needless, you know, because I did find the love of my life. I don't need anything more from him or of him. I just enjoy him. And it's so nice to have that. So that gives me a sense of calm and peace. I feel like my life, I look at like a empty canvas and I have all the paint and I'm like, I want to throw as much paint on it while I'm here. And it's just, it turned into fun for me instead of like having to prove anything. And I think that definitely comes in your 50s where you go like, you know, I'm fine with who I am. I don't need to be anybody else. Now let me just paint and have fun with the canvas.
What was little Jenny McCarthy like? Because in one of your books, I was reading about you being bullied in all-girl Catholic school. It made me so angry. What was all of that about? Take me on the inside there.
Thanks for asking, because I don't really get to talk about it that much, but I think it's kind of important and neat. But I went to an all-girl Catholic school, and I really liked hair and makeup. So I had my big, giant 80s hair, my blonde hair down to my butt that was permed, lots of makeup. And when you go to an all-girl school, that's not appreciated. If I went to a co-ed school, it might have been appreciated, but the girls were just not having it. And it was very scary because they would like wait for me after school. They did light my hair on fire at one point. But looking back on that now, I realized it was almost like a training school for Hollywood because it taught me resilience. It taught me how to not take things so personally. You know, I really dove into spirituality the moment I got into LA and figured out very quickly early in my career that people that throw insults are really projecting their own level of consciousness on you. And how I react to them, it will show mine. So that's kind of how I got through high school. I also kind of try to make people laugh a little bit. Like I tried to self-deprecate to be silly and it kind of helped me. So I was like, okay, that's something I can do that will appease the girls around me a little bit. And maybe that's why, you know, on Singled Out, I so went over the top to make fun of myself and be like, I don't take any of this stuff seriously. This is just fun. And let me show you that there's more to what meets the eye.
When that was happening to you, who did you talk to about it? Like, did you go home and tell your mom and dad? Did you tell your sisters? What did you do with all that emotion?
You know, I love your questions because no one's ever asked me that, but I just bottled it all up because I was too embarrassed. I thought my mom would think I'm a loser. Plus, I'm a person that doesn't like empathy. Like, I didn't like people feeling sorry for me because I felt like I can handle anything. And we didn't have much money growing up. And it was hard. So I didn't want to be a burden anymore. Like my mom was always stressed as to how we were going to put food on the table. So to come home and burden her more, it's maybe a middle child thing, but I was just like, It wasn't until like she found out that girls were trying to wait for me after school to beat me up, or girls would come to the house and try to, you know, drag me out.
What about the maxi pads where they'd write your name on it or something? Like, what in the world?
Is that horrible? I mean, it wasn't just me in the school. There were 2,000 girls, but they were vicious. That's why I'm like, I'm really glad social media wasn't around when I was that age, because there's a lot of girls that take their life, and I knew I was strong enough not to do that. But man, there were moments where I was like really scared to go to school. I was really bullied. And I can't imagine if that was on a public scale like it is social media wise.
So how has that experience affected your relationship with women going forward?
God, this is my favorite interview ever. Okay. Because they're deep questions. And I'm a Scorpio and I love getting deep. Yes and no, because I would be fearful going into photo shoots or executives that they were going to be vengeful towards me. But I also realized something else with therapy, which was that protection, that armor that I built to get through those years and then to get through the autism years. It's kind of like that armor served me well. My therapist says that armor really served you well, because a lot of people would have turned to drinking, drugs. You still maintained your work. People said you had 15 minutes of fame 30 years ago. You're still here. Like you did it. And then when I met Donnie, I lacked vulnerability.
How so?
I wouldn't let him see. I let him see flaws. I'd made fun of myself, but this part, the vulnerability. And so when I went to the therapist, he said, you're safe now. It's time to take the armor off. And I was just like, it was such like, I have the chills now thinking about it, because it's true. I had such armor. I'm scared to show the little girl, the hurt little girl or the vulnerable little girl. And like, I had to pry it off. But then once I did and knew that Donnie was a safe space, my whole life changed. And maybe that's why I'm peaceful now, because I was able to comfort the little girl by, you know, taking off the armor and telling her that you're in a safe place now and it's okay. And it served you well, but you don't need it anymore.
What would you tell your younger self if you could go back?
I go back now because I'm spiritual and I believe space-time and everything happens at the same time. And it's not like EMDR therapy. If you don't know what that is, I highly suggest looking that up. But I tell her like, everything's going to be okay. And I go through the scenarios, those horrible scenarios, even with my son going into cardiac arrest or having seizures when I was a wreck. I go back in meditation and do like a guardian angel point of view. And I stop in front of myself and I say, you're going to be okay. Like to tell myself, you're going to be okay. There's going to be shit and there's going to be chaos sometimes, but you're going to be okay. You're going to come out of this so good. And I trust that. And it's served me well.
Well, any parent who has a middle school, high school girl going through that, I think those will be great words to hear. Shifting gears, Jenny. All right, let's go back to the beginning. Tell me about the moment you put your credit card down and you went to get new boobs.
Oh my God.
How old were we? Where were we?
Okay.
And who did you tell?
I was living in my neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, and one of the girls I know in the neighborhood came walking by with big old boobs. I'm like, what happened? Your boobs are gorgeous. And she's like, I found a doctor. He's in Scottsdale, and he's $1,500. I'm like, $1,500? That's crazy. I want new boobs. So I called, made an appointment, went out there, put it on my credit card, and I learned pretty quickly why it was $1,500. There was no anesthesia. So I was awake during the surgery, and it was like,
what?
It was, I'm not even sure. I'm hoping he's a doctor. Now look at me.
You're at the ball.
I woke up, like they gave me like a Xanax or something. And so I was kind of relaxed. And then I opened up my eyes and I was like, I can feel, I'm awake. I could feel everything. And they're like, yeah, just relax. We're almost done with the first boob. And I'm like, just relax. I'm like freaked out. And then your arms are tied like this. And kind of like if anyone had a C-section, that's how your arms are tied down. Like Jesus on the cross laying down. And then when you get a boob job, they have a pedal on the table that makes you rise up. So now you're really looking like Jesus on the cross. No respect to Jesus. I'm just using the analogy.
With double D's. Yeah.
So then the doctors all go to the other side of the room and they stare at you like this to make sure your boobs are even, if they have to move them around, if one's bigger than the other. I am awake for all of this. This is why I know this happens, because I was going, what the fuck?
No. Wait, how old were you at this time?
I was 19.
19. Did you have cute boobs before? Like looking back, were you like,
I had perfect boobs. Even the doctor was like, your boobs are kind of great. I was like, I know, but the boys like bigger ones. It was a societal thing that, you know, I watched too much Benny Hill growing up, for anyone our age. It's like, oh, boobs have power, you know? And so if I could go back and undo it, I would, but you know, it's everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. And go figure, I come home and decided to start trying to get into show business and modeling and send my picture out. And I wound up getting to Playboy and they're like, Hef decided he doesn't want anyone with fake boobs anymore. I was like, what? Say what? I'm like, it's so new. I still had stretch marks. You know what I mean? I was like, But they still granted me a quick photo shoot in a bikini. And then they called me back. So like, this girl is the true meaning of girl next door, because I have never shaved in my life. So my bush was like, it was like a tree. It was just, it was enormous, an enormous bush. And then I had one eyebrow I never plucked in my life. So they were like, and she's like, what they want is girl next door. They don't want stripper. You know, that's why he wanted to move away from implants, but they gave me the opportunity and fortunately worked out.
First of all, nobody shaved in the 90s, right?
Someone will come over for an autograph and be like, can you sign the centerfold? And my sister was like, oh my, I can't believe in public. You let people see that. I'm like, hey, you know what? At least you didn't see a lot of labia, because it was
no, by a book. It was the style. Okay, wait. And then I love in your book reading, did you walk in without an appointment to Playboy? Or in my mind, you got the boobs and you walked straight in. I don't know, that's not how it happened, but tell me how it went down.
I dropped out of college because I couldn't afford it anymore. So I went 2 years and I was at home going like, what am I going to do now? Well, I might as well try like a dream. So I took the yellow pages out. And I found all these like agencies, and I was like, I took my Polaroid camera and just did chink, 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 and did like 70 Polaroids. I wrote a letter, stuck it in an envelope, and I mailed out 70. I got one reply that said, come downtown to meet with our agents. And I was like, oh, great. I took the bus there. I borrowed something from JCPenney's with the tag still on and went in. And the lady was like, I brought you down here to tell you that you should not do this. You'll never be a model, and that you should just serve beer in a bar.
Oh my gosh.
I was so devastated, because of course I told all my friends and family, like, a big agency is taking me in Chicago. I'm going down for a meeting. And so I left there crying on the curb. I literally was sitting on the curb like, so a mess. And I looked up, and across the street was the Playboy building with the little bunny outside. And I remember going, I can't do that because my mom will kill me. I'm Irish Catholic. Like, I have 3 aunts that are nuns, 4 uncles that are priests. Like, I'll be disowned. And I still thought I was going to burn in hell. But I all of a sudden, my body stood up and I started walking across the street. And I'm like, what am I doing? It was someone took control of me and like pushed my finger on the button, went upstairs and went to the front desk and was like, hi, how do people become Playmates? And she said, not by walking in here. You have to send in photos and then they'll decide if they want to have you come in for a meeting or so. I was like, okay. And she's like, we get a million photos a year. I'm like, okay. So I turned around, pressed the button to go. And it just so happens, this is where like synchronicity, I believe in. The senior editor of magazine was walking past the hallway and he sees this like nervous blonde girl standing there with her little portfolio book of my garage photos. Garage meaning I stood by the garage to take all my Polaroid photos.
Very exotic.
Very. And so then he said, hey, are you wanting to become a Playmate? And I was like, I was just inquiring. And he goes, we have a photo shoot happening. If you want to throw on a bikini and, you know, do a little just shot, we can submit that. And I was like, okay. And then I thought to myself, I hadn't shaved my legs. I didn't shave my arms. And
forget the bush.
At least I would have trimmed the outers. You know what I mean? Like the sides. So the hair's not sticking out. So I'm in the back. All of a sudden, I went from crying, being rejected over there to putting on this bikini going like, what the hell is happening? So I go out on the set. I've never been on a set before. So they're like, they tell the one model to move away. And they're like, okay, do a pose. And I'm like, a pose? So I just did like mug shots. I literally was like this. And I turned and I turned. And they're like, okay. I got back on the city bus. And by the time I got home, on my answering machine, they were like, we're going to give you an official test for Miss October.
Wow.
And I was like, uh-oh, now I have to tell my parents. And then it just went from there.
Jenny, for our listeners that maybe don't even like to get nude in front of their partner, like what is it like to get nude in front for a photo shoot?
Horrific, horrible, traumatizing, terrible. I mean, I had one boyfriend the whole time. So it was like a 6-year relationship. He was the only person that saw me naked. I don't even know if I've gone to a gynecologist at this point in my life. It was very scary, you know? So the part I didn't like was like craft service guy being there watching. Ugh. The grips that, and Playboy does this special lighting where they'll take like just a tiny sliver of a light and light the bush
or oh God.
A nipple. So you have a guy staring at your nipple as you're standing there going like, this is terrible.
Oh my gosh.
Then I had, this is where I learned what Mason brushes were. I was standing in my pose and you can't move for like 8 hours when you're shooting the centerfold one. You're just like stuck. And this makeup artist walks over and she's like, fluff, fluff, fluff.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, she just fluffed my bush with a Mason Pearson brush.
That's a real fluffer.
A real fluffer. That's absolutely right. It was really, really scary. But those people stare at you when you're naked is very disconcerting.
Would you ever pose for Playboy again today in your 50s?
The closest I got to it was doing the Skims ad this past summer with Carmen Electra.
Gorgeous. Yep.
You know, so I'm like, that's good enough. And no one wants to see my C-section and bush now.
I beg to differ. Those are our warrior scars.
Thank you.
Jenny, I was going to ask you one more question about the Playboy Mansion. What was the deal with Hef?
Everyone was like, you're going to have to sleep with Hef. You're going to have to sleep to Hef. I'm like, no, I don't want to sleep with anybody. If I can sleep with anybody, I'm not going to make it. So I went in with that intention. But they put you in a guard shack that's next to the house that is a small guard shack. And that's where they keep all the dogs. The dog cages are just outside. So it's like a very weird little place. So I checked in. There was a girl that was hot waxing her poon. And I was like, this is all very weird. The phone rings and I answer it. And it's a man. He's like, hey, this is Frank Stallone. Is there any new Playmates that just checked in? And I'm like, I'm new. He's like, oh yeah, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Chicago, south side of Chicago. And he's like, you want to go out sometime? I'm like, no, I have a boyfriend. Click. I'm like, then the phone rings again. And it's all these kind of weird celebrities. Have you noticed I said Frank Stallone?
Yeah. So not even Sylvester Stallone. That's
right,
his brother.
Right, right. It was mind-boggling to me to see all these like 90-year-old men that were trying to work it with the girls.
Well, what's great about all of that is it led to Singled Out. They turned you down 10 times.
Yeah.
Why did they turn you down? And how did you know that this you needed to get?
So when I was finishing up my Playmate of the Year duties at Playboy, someone asked me what I want to do next. And I said, I want to kind of get into comedy. I want to host. I want to dabble a little in everything. And they go, Playmates aren't funny. And I'm like, well, I'm not a comedian, but I'm goofy. And I like to make people laugh in any way possible. And they're like, just shut up and go get some modeling jobs. I'm like, oh, they don't know me. Like, I'm a manifester. So I remember putting out to the universe, like, God, it'd be great if I got on MTV because then I can show my personality, whether it's a VJ or something. So they had an open cattle call, which means 400 girls were lined up around the block. So I got in that line. And I didn't have a headshot, like an acting headshot or anything. So I just drew a picture of myself as Lucy from Charlie Brown with a big mouth.
And the sunglasses. Oh, you meant Lucille Ball. You went Lucy from Peanuts.
Totally. And they're like, never. Our sponsors will never, ever let a playmate in. So I just disguised myself and just went in until it came down to the final like two. And they were like, are you that playmate that kept trying to call and get in here? I was like, yeah. And I kind of just proved to them in those final auditions, because it was like 15 different callbacks, that I was the right person for the job. I was like, listen, I don't plan on whipping my clothes off during the show. Like,
yeah,
you got to give me this opportunity. Like, I'm a ball buster.
What would you say is your rose and your thorn of your career? You've done 1,000 things.
The rose back then, if I talk history, would be Singled Out for sure in my sketch show. My MTV days. No doubt.
The Jenny McCarthy show was great.
I love that sketch show so much. And then the thorn would obviously be The View. That was really tough because if you looked at my work and my history, I'm light and fluffy. Like, I'm fun. I'm like a pop culture fun kind of a girl. And that's what I was hired to do on The View. And it wasn't until the first week that they decided, because Barbara did not know the pop culture people. But after 1 week, Barbara was like, we're going back to politics. So I'm like, okay, I know nothing about politics. And also, I'm not a fighter. Like, I always try to bring peace because there was chaos in my life growing up when I was younger. It scares me. It's because it is kind of bullying, you know, and they hype you up backstage to kind of go after that person. And I my cells were not cut out for that at all. And it was tough. I'm like, I had like cold sores. I had tumors like growing. I was like, this is really bad. I couldn't take it.
Wait, Jenny, the same for me. They had me in at The View at the time. All I did was agree with everybody. I'm like, yep, star. Yep. Oh, Barbara, you in the back. Meredith, yes. I mean, I was like, I just agreed with them all. I don't want to fight.
Thank God you did not. Do it.
Can you imagine me on there? You held your own. You did really great. And Barbara loved you.
Barbara did love me. And I love Barbara. You know, we had a great relationship, which was sweet. And I kind of looked out for her as much as I can.
Let's talk about your manifestation. You manifested The Masked Singer, which has been, I mean, we're coming into our 11th season. How do you manifest things?
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey everyone, I'm a jeans girl, and if you're like me, you need to know about Blue Delta jeans. Blue Deltas are custom fit for your body type. You send in your measurements and they custom fit them to you. I've truly never had jeans that fit me this perfectly, and honestly, it's been a game changer. Their easy measurement process to get your custom fit and their unique hand-sewn jeans are the best you can get. You will not believe how great they feel. And with white jean season upon us, Blue Delta jeans should be your go-to. I'm completely obsessed with their incredible custom white vintage jeans that come in straight and flare styles. Trust me, you will live in them. Go to BlueDeltaJeans.com and enter the code COOP20 for 20% off your new perfect jeans. Bubs Naturals is known for more than just collagen. Every morning I start my day with their new Bubs Brew coffee and add their amazing MCT creamer. Now, Bubs Brew is a curated collection of amazing organic coffee that is very strong and tastes delicious. Now, I love strong coffee, and Bubs Brew delivers. For extra added mental focus, I add their MCT creamer. It's the first Whole30 approved MCT creamer with no sugar or artificial flavoring. When I use it, I swear I feel the extra energy and mental stamina to be sharp for 2 live shows, my workout in the morning, and of course, then interviews for The Coop with Kit. Thank you, Bubs, for keeping me sharp. Go to BubsNaturals.com and use COOP20 for discounts on all the amazing Bubs products and living better longer. So some of you know that I've recently taken up golf and I can't get enough of it. And I'm equally obsessed with this ladies' golf clothing brand that I found. It's called Lola, L-O-H-L-A Sport, Lola Sport. And I love that it's a female-owned brand, super fashionable pieces that can coordinate to make many outfits, on-trend colors, fine European fabrics, and a great fit. In fact, I find that I'm wearing Lola sport outfits even when I'm not on the golf course. I could wear it all day long. If you're a sporty lady like me and really don't want to change clothes five times a day, you'll love Lola Sport. And for our listeners, you can get 20% off full price merchandise with code COOP20 at checkout at lolasport.com. And now back to the coop. How do you manifest things?
It's a three combination. It's thinking it. So it's your imagination. And then it's feeling it. What does it feel like to already have it, to be in it? So I'm like, I picture myself doing it. And what does it feel like? I go, oh, it feels so good. I'm having so much fun. I feel, and I'm going through it. So you have to really imagine yourself and feel the emotions. Then the last step is action. So for instance, if I used my story of just wanting to get in the industry, I took Polaroids of myself. Now, the odds of me getting to where I did were so enormous. I probably would have better odds being struck by lightning. I used Polaroid pictures, stuck them in an envelope. I just so happened to get denied from this lady. I could have just been a local model and been fine with it, but it forced me to go across the street. And so action made the imagination and the feelings all line up together. So I was, you know, drove my U-Haul all the way out to LA and I was like, oh, I'm going to do that again. I'm going to imagine the feeling of making it and not being someone that gets chewed up and spit out. I'm going to feel the feeling. And by the time I got to LA, I was standing on the roof of the Playboy building and I looked at the Hollywood sign. You could see it from there. And I just did an overwhelming feeling. Okay. I don't know how it's going to happen. I trust that the universe will guide me there as long as I stay connected to the imagination, the feeling, and the action.
What did you see with The Masked Singer? What was it about this show that you manifested?
The show for me, I was loved doing serious radio. It was really great to have long form interviews and get to know people and talk. But I also missed being seen. I'm a colorful kind of personality. So I'm like, I literally said, it'd be great if I could just maybe find a game show that becomes hugely popular where I can be myself. No one wants to change me. And maybe I could show even a different side, maybe a smart side. And I'm going to tell my agent to set me up on some generals. So I flew out to LA, did these general meetings where you just sit on a couch and you talk to the people. And then like 2 months later, we got a call that said, hey, we have this game show called Masked Singer. And I was like, okay. So it requires the action. I think that that's what people are missing. You know, I called it the couch potato syndrome where you can just dream it. Like I used to be a huge stoner in college and I used to sit there and be like, oh, and just like, oh, I'm doing so many things. I wasn't doing anything. It was all happening in my brain, but I wasn't putting action towards it.
Speaking of action, you have always been a warrior mom for your son, Evan. What does that title mean to you?
Warrior mom is something that obviously kicks in at a certain point. If it doesn't happen immediately, it happens at some point, whether your child is bullied or is depressed or has an ailment, you have this innate, like, power that becomes activated in you that you didn't know existed. It literally comes from the divine. I felt it. Like I literally, if you can feel energy, I felt it happen in me. It was like a chunk, chunk. It's like someone handed me my cape for the first time. And I was like, yes, yes, I can do this. I can handle anything. And I'm going to be there for my son. I was just telling him yesterday, because he's now 6'3".
Oh my gosh.
And I was rubbing his head. I go, I used to rub your head when you were just a little baby and say, I'm going to be the best mama I can. I'm going to be the best mama ever. And he's like, and you are, you know, it's the sweetest relationship. And I just told him the other day, I'm like, I don't want you ever to move out. I want you to live with me forever. And he goes, I'll give you 2 more years.
How old is he now?
21. He'll be 22 in May.
Has Evan ever Googled you?
This is a great story. And now he is maybe 13, maybe 12. And I'm at home and he goes, Mom, can you come here a second? And I was like, okay. So I come in there and he goes, he didn't necessarily Google me. He Googled him.
Oh.
And he wasn't aware of this giant thing that I did. And I was always concerned when he was younger. Like, I'm like, I didn't really get his permission to go out and be like, hey, my son got autism and this is how I helped his boo-boos feel better. I did it trusting that it was the right thing to do. Like I felt it. And so he's like, what is all this all these TV shows that you're talking about me. Like, he knew about the autism diagnosis, but he didn't know I publicly and wrote all these books and did all this work. And I was like, oh, wow, I have to sit down with him and have this conversation and say, you know, I hope it's okay when I share with you these stories. And in fact, I saved thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of letters from parents around the world that then when I initially came out that said, oh my God, thank you. I started the gluten-free diet. My kid started talking, like got better. And all of these letters written to me and Evan, and I brought them all out of my chest and put them on the table. And I go, I want you to see the impact of what you did to help so many families that might have, you know, children with autism. Mind you, autism, nothing wrong with autism. The neurodivergent part of it is beautiful. These kids are higher dimensional beings. I believe that. Thing that I always wanted to fix and still do are the comorbidities that are associated with it. Seizures, those are leaky guts. That is Crohn's disease. They have a lot of gut infections. And we notice when we heal the gut, it clears their mind. So I explained to him that, and he got it so quickly and was like, this is beautiful. I'm so glad we were able to help some people. I'm like, that's right. And then I said, don't you ever Google me, my name.
Oh my God, I can't wait to meet him, Jenny.
Oh my God, you are going to be blown away by his light. Oh. He's like a light bulb. You're going to be like, oh my God.
Okay, hang on. And isn't Evan helping out as a PA at the Masked Singer?
He did a lot of behind the scenes stuff. The audience warm up. He brought in the audience.
What? That's a huge job.
Well, there was a guy that does the audience warm up, but they brought Evan in to actually hype them up as well. So Evan was like dancing in the middle of the stage, hyping everybody up, throwing out t-shirts. And it was so cute because he wore a little walkie-talkie with an earpiece and was like in full glory. It really made a difference. Like for parents that are scared for their kids to maybe get a job that might have special needs or something, it's the most empowering thing to watch happen because it took him to a whole other level. He's like, I feel smart. I feel important. I'm like, you are even without this, but I'm glad you feel it now. So it's going to be a special season this year watching it because I know he was off to the side. And it's another reason why I couldn't be too mean to Ken because my son is a very sensitive flower and he doesn't like, you can't like, it's like an empath, a super, super empath. I think all of these kids, by the way, are empaths. Like they can't take, they're the canaries in the coal mine for a lot of reasons. You know what I mean?
I can't wait. I'm going to eat them up. Jenny, would you like to play a little game?
Sure.
Okay. It's called Let's Get Random. Here we go. What would people be surprised to know about you?
That I'm actually quite boring.
I don't buy that one.
Maybe that I'm really deep into spirituality. Like I did sweat lodges for 10 years with the little Cherokee tribe. And I do these little spiritual kind of getaways and cleanses. And that's not really surprising, but I am profoundly into spirituality.
Goes back to your word peaceful.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever been rejected by a guy?
Oh my God, plenty.
No way.
Oh my God, yes. It's been, and it was horrible. I hated it. I was even really quick. This was back in my college days. I went home with a guy. I never did like a one night stand and I was a little buzzed. And I was like, all right, I'll go home with this cute guy. Wound up sleeping with him and he was in his place. And he goes, I'm hungry. You want me to grab you McDonald's? It's across the street. And I saw the Golden Arches. I'm like, yeah, get me a Big Mac with extra sauce. So I'm waiting. He leaves and I'm waiting. He never kind of came back.
What?
I had to do a walk of shame home and just the Golden Arches went out. The lights went out. I'm like, it's been an hour. What? He just ditched me in his own apartment. One boy that broke up with me because I was wearing a Cross Your Heart bra, he came up to me in a bar and asked to buy me a drink. And I said, no.
Speaking of the Cross Your Heart bra, do you still have the same boobs that we got back in Arizona all those years ago?
No. So I had my boobs. I always thought they were too big. I hated when the guy did them. I was like, what? I asked for a C's and you gave me like double D's. And he's like, everyone wants them bigger. I'm like, I didn't. So I had to live with those until I got, you know, money. And then before I had Evan, I downsized into a decent size. And then after I had Evan and many years went by, they were so soupy. They were like zucchinis. So I was like, I don't want to do a lift, but I will go bigger just to fill in the gap. Now I'm trying to find a doctor to take me back down again and do the whole lift. Cause I mean, I honestly would take them out if they weren't so zucchini and grossed out, but I'm going to go much smaller because they're just, they're just in the way. I don't need them. They're hard. I'm like,
you're going to go back to your original, the greatest boobs of all time. Okay. Jenny, I was fascinated to read that you love reading about near-death experiences.
Addicted.
Have you ever like had one, or what's the closest you've gotten to like spirits?
Many. I haven't had a near-death experience, although I almost died a couple of times, but I didn't leave my body in the sense that the way people describe with near-death experiences.
Wait, how did you almost die?
I was on the set of Diamonds, which is a movie where I met my ex-husband, and I was in my trailer. I was in the makeup trailer going, I don't really feel so good. I need to go lay down. And I went in my trailer and I laid down. I'm like, oh, I'm feeling worse and worse. I'm like, I'm going to try to sleep. But I just remember being like, I'm like, can't breathe all of a sudden. I open up the door to my trailer. Mind you, it's 0 degrees in Reno and I'm dressed like a hooker because that was my role. And once the air hit me, I rolled out of the trailer and went into convulsions.
What?
I opened up my eyes and Dan Aykroyd is above me because he was in the movie with Lauren Bacall and Kirk Douglas. And he's screaming for help, screaming on the top of his lungs. And I don't know what's going on. I just know my body is literally convulsing. Apparently, the Teamsters, because it was so cold, they took hefty bags and they taped the bottom of the trailers to the ground without putting the exhaust pipe outside. So we were all being gassed. The makeup trailer that I left, they were outside puking. I went in to try to take a nap. So I got an extra half an hour of it.
Oh my gosh.
So the ambulance came and I went to the hospital and they tested my blood and they're like, damn, you got hit hard. And convulsions is the sign right before you die. So,
oh my gosh.
Thank God I opened up the door.
Thank God Dan Aykroyd was right.
Screaming for help. Thank God.
So wait, was there another? That what you said there was multiple. What else?
Oh, yeah. Oh, then I choked on a piece of candy when I was little that was like a big ball. And I was like, and my sister's yelling at me going, stop being stupid. Stop it. I'm trying to tell her to get help. My mom was, I didn't know where she was in the house. And I can feel myself slowly going. I was like, okay, I'm about to die. Oh, and then all of a sudden my body gets lifted up and I'm being dragged outside. And my mom's doing the Heimlich maneuver and screaming. And everyone in the whole neighborhood comes running out. Now I'm starting to pass out, losing consciousness. And all of a sudden, gunk, this giant piece of candy came out and I survived it.
Oh my gosh.
Then I was hit by a car and I flew in the air, like 60 miles an hour. I was on my 10 speed. And I remember this flying in the air and I'm going towards the ground. And I swear I felt I was caught and placed. I didn't have a bruise on my body. You turn around and my 10 speed was crunched in a ball. I didn't have one mark on my body. And I was like, my mom came running out because it happened in front of her. And she's like, and I'm like, mom, there's nothing on me. I was totally protected. I'm like, my guardian angels are so tired.
But Jenny, no one survives a 10 speed hit.
No, 60 miles an hour. It was crazy.
Who hit you?
Some dude that owns owned a VHS shop back in the day. But those near-death experience, I was addicted to those books when I first moved out to LA. I went to the Psychic Eye bookshop and lived there and like absorbed it all. And then when YouTube came around, I can tell you, I watched every near-death experience video on YouTube. That it brings me a sense of peace knowing that there's a consistent story that matches everybody of this place that's even better. The people don't want to come back. That's what's mind-boggling to me. They could be leaving behind their family and their kids and be like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back because it's so beautiful and of the light.
I love hearing that. I'd hang on back to the game. Shit, you threw me off my game with these near-death ones.
I'm so sorry. Here we go. I'm sorry.
What is in your bedside drawer?
Okay. So I have some gummies and I have my vibrator, pocket rocket. I'm being totally honest. I have a couple of books there. I always keep an Eckhart Tolle. Power versus Force is another good one. That's always next to my bedside table and my eye mask. And that's about it.
That might be the greatest bedside drawer we've had so far. What do you do to blow off steam?
I garden. I love to like really get in there. This house that I'm in right now, Donnie, actually, I don't think I talked about this yet, but I kept eyeing this house that I wanted to flip because it was like a 1970s ranch house. And I'm like, I really want to flip this house. Will you go halvesies on me so I can have something to do because I have so much energy in between Massinger? And so he's like, yeah, I'll go half on you. And it was my 50th birthday. And he handed me the keys and said, happy birthday.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful.
Right? So my letting off steam is doing more work, but I love it. I gardened everything outside. I helped on the inside, like gutting it and I just love, I'm like a true tradesman. Like I did my own pathway. Like literally I went to a quarry. I got stones, loaded them in the truck. I made a brick pathway on my own. I did it all. It's just like, I love hard labor. Is that weird or what?
Okay. Fill in the blank. Aging is what to you?
Aging is, love your questions. They're so beautiful. Aging is exciting.
Perfect word. Why?
I feel like there's more wisdom, of course, that comes with it. So I'm like, I look at my forward, I go, wow, if I feel like I'm wise now, I can't imagine when I'm 80 looking back with all the wisdom that I have. And I love wisdom. I love going deep, you know? So that's really exciting to me. Plus, I also love like biohacking my health. I like finding out the new things and maybe paving a way for people and women behind me, like just getting on the bioidentical hormones for menopause and sharing that information of like, oh my God, it has saved me. And things like that excite me to turn around and then teach others.
Tina Turner told me, she says she wanted to age gratefully, not gracefully, gratefully. Isn't that beautiful?
That wins.
That wins. We can do that with your Formless Beauty, one of your new passion projects. What is the meaning behind the name?
Okay, so I'm a big fan of Eckhart Tolle, who is a spiritual teacher, and he always used the word formless to define who our true essence is, because we are not the physical body. We are spirits, souls, having a human experience. So he always referred to that I am as formless. So when I started my makeup company, I was like, I need a word that resonates and reminding women that even though it's about makeup, that real beauty, true beauty is formless. That's where real beauty comes from. Makeup is just the cherry on top. So I wanted to keep the intentions going, keep it pure, and leave something behind for humanity that I can get behind and say, you know what? I did something good here. I follow the EWG guidelines, which I dare any other celebrity lines to do, because there's 900 pages of unacceptable ingredients that we follow. Because a lot of people are using that term clean beauty right now, and it's just not true.
It ain't clean.
And I don't want to diss other companies, because I want to service the people who want those lids that are transparent, that are good for you, and that you can allow your daughter to use, because there's so many hormone disruptors in makeup and even still formaldehyde and shit like that. Sorry.
No.
Someone has to do it.
By the way, I love your affirmations on your lip gloss. I am wearing Euphoria, my favorite one. And I'm obsessed with your mascara, and so are my daughters. Where can people find Formless?
If you go to formlessbeauty.com, we're not in any stores yet because I don't have that kind of VC capital yet, nor do I want it. So it's slowly but surely, you can feel how it resonates. You're like, I know this is good because it is good. So check out the website and try on some of our products.
What are you manifesting next?
Okay, so I had something that popped in my head that's still half cooking. So I told the universe, I don't know if I want it yet, but it just popped in there of like, oh, that would be fun. It always starts with that would be fun, dot, dot, dot. Cause I feel like it takes the pressure off the universe and myself. It's like keeping it light and fluffy and from the heart space. That's what I'm saying. It's from the heart chakra space.
Can you give us a teaser? Oh, you're going to tell us. Okay, good. I thought you were going to hide it.
So my idea that's half baked right now, wouldn't it be fun to maybe do a show with Donnie that is kind of like, it's a show that I called like in my head On the Rocks, and it's an aging boy bander and a former aging playmate who are totally the ego driven version of us, who are desperate to hold on to their fame, their looks, and they go on to every kind of possible thing to exploit that. Their publicist convinces them to move to a small town, kind of like Schitt's Creek, because their stars will shine brighter there. Oh, yeah. And my character keeps trying to like sell pictures of them. And, you know, just like I'm cooking it right now, yeah. But I'm like,
oh, I can totally see this.
It's a scripted show. Cause I want it to be kind of like, just like Schitt's Creek, the characters are so like out there, but fun. And again, this is half-baked because Donnie, you know, who knows what, Blue Bloods could surprise us all and go another 10 years. But I'm cooking it up, so you never know.
You literally glow. You light up when you talk about Donnie. Why was he the right time and the right one for you?
I went on a year hiatus of being, I was like, I'm not going to date anyone. I'm going to be celibate. I'm going to work on me. I'm going to see what, because I wasn't in the best relationship. So I'm like, what do I keep repeating. The common denominator is always yourself. So I realized I had to really work on self-love. Like I really had to go deep. And I didn't even understand the meaning of it. I was like reading books, like, how do you find it? Like asking people. And my realization was, I already am love. There's no seeking. We are divinity. We are love. And so doing that work for a full year, I put out to the universe, you know, maybe I might be ready, but I don't want anyone half-baked. I need them fully baked. I need them to meet me where I'm at now, because I would get in relationships and always have to downshift like a gear in a car. I'd always be here and then they wouldn't be. So I'd go, let me lower my light. Let me lower my frequency because he's not there yet. And I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. They gotta meet me here. And I interviewed Donnie on my show and I was like, oh, he's cute. And then I'm like, oh, he's funny. Oh, he's smart. Oh, he's got a nice butt. Oh, he's single. It was like all these things. And I was like, I think I'm going to give my phone number. And I kind of knew though, right after that interview, the interview was supposed to be 6 minutes long. It was 90 minutes.
What? And did he feel it right then too?
He did. He stuck around afterwards because I gave his assistant my phone number. But then I ran in my dressing room and I was beet red. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like Marsha Brady or Jan Brady. Like I'm flushed. I haven't felt this long and ever since high school. And oh my God. And they're like, I think he's out there waiting for you. I'm like, I can't see him. I don't know. I'm like, I was a bumbling idiot. So I like hid in my dressing room for an hour and he still didn't leave. And I was like, what the hell is going on? He needs to leave. I can't talk. I'm so embarrassed. Well, he thought I just gave my phone number out to everybody. I'd never given my phone number to a guy. And so it took him 2 weeks to call me back. So I was like, what the heck? But he saw an ad, a commercial run for the show where I had a psychic on the next week. And they're like talking about my love life. And I go, am I going to marry Donnie Wahlberg? And the psychic goes, yeah, actually. And it cuts the commercial. And so he wound up calling going like, I saw that ad of your show. And I go, I almost gave up on you because 14 days is a little rude. And he goes, I thought you were just being nice. So then we went on a date and it was happily ever after.
What's the biggest misconception about you?
That I am a wild child, that I might be slutty or crude. Like I know even Donnie was like, he's like, I was a little worried that they always think they're going to get singled out, Jenny, when I used to manhandle the guys. Or like when people, some girls come up to me and they're wasted in a bar and God bless them because I love all women, but they'd be like flashing their boobs. And I'm like, that's a character, you know, that's a character I do. And it's part of me. Don't get me wrong. I have that side that's fun, but I'm not a slut. I'm a serial monogamist.
I love seeing you so happy. And speaking of that, the last question we ask everybody in the coop, Jenny, what makes you happy?
I love your questions. What makes me happy? Being surrounded by my family. When I have Evan in the house and Donnie in the house, I am needless in the universe. People are always like fearful about this, you know, cyber attack. And what if we have to be off grid? And I'm like, I'm fine. Like I have the two loves of my life. I'm happy. So, and our health. Good health makes me happy as well.
Well, you've got it all. And thank you so much, my friend. I hope you enjoyed this.
Can I tell you, I have to interrupt because I've done 30 years of interviews, by far my favorite interview I've ever done. Your questions are so good. They're so fun to answer. They're not surface level. You did your homework and they're mind expanding, soul expanding. And like, you were my last interview of the day and it's just going to glide me into the happiest evening. Honestly, if you ever need anything from me, if you ever need, I'd give you a kidney or liver. You probably wouldn't want one, but you are a true star and so amazing at what you do. And I'm just honored that I get to know you and hopefully we can be best friends now.
No, Jenny, thank you for saying this is why I wanted to do this podcast. I'm feeling at 53, I want more. And these are the kind of conversations I want to have. And it's also poignant and interesting to me. And I feel like I'm in a transition period. So I learned so much.
100%. I just got the chills and that's a confirmation. I feel like you have the capability of being the even better female Joe Rogan. We are missing that in the female space. And hands down, if I were to put my money on somebody, it would be you. You've got it all. So keep going. I think you're on to something huge. And I'm going to spread the word. Everyone needs to do her. Oh.
I just love you. Keep kicking ass. I can't wait to see what you manifest next. Thank you for taking the time, my friend.
You got it. And I'll see you in LA.
Coop, there it is. Wow. Jenny McCarthy is so awesome. She's so enlightening. Whew, I got a lot of download to do from that one. I think I'm still reflecting on how she finally realized she didn't need to lower her frequency or light to those around her, that they need to meet her where she is. And from there, as she said, that's where the magic happens. Wow, that's awesome. So ladies, great reminder, don't dim your light for anybody. And great news, Coop listeners, Jenny is giving y'all 10% off her Formless Beauty. Go to formlessbeauty.com and use the code COOP10. My favorite is the lip gloss and the mascara. You're going to love it. Thank you for joining us, my chickens. If you liked this episode, please give us a 5-star rating, drop in a great review, and tag us at The Coop with Kit Hoover. See you next time in The Coop. And remember, as my mom Bug always says, life is not a dress rehearsal. Make it count. Today's episode was produced by me, Kit Hoover, and Harper McDonald. Our technical producer is Christian Brown, and today's episode was edited by Christian Brown, business development by Casey Ladd, and a special thank you to all of our sponsors.